Grade 7 Conference, Lecture 15, Third Part of Language Arts. So, to go on with the mechanics of composition writing. So, by now the students have handed them in. I'm at home spending my entire free time weekend correcting papers. I actually just learned how to do it very, very quickly. And I must say, by 7th grade, more than half of the compositions in early 7th grade needed only the lightest touch of editing. The students were writing grammatically, they were spelling correctly, and the content was pretty much intact. Nonetheless, they'd still get their comments, and I would fine-tune it, but it might be one of those 20-page double-spaced compositions by a girl. I could do that in under 10 minutes, whereas a 5-page composition by a boy might be a very different matter. So I'm not done talking about the boys yet either. They get their moment in the sun as well in a little while. But just speaking in a general way. So, you know, just learn how to do it quickly. Maybe you need help. Maybe your spouse can help you do some of that editing. Maybe you have, a brilliant high school student or something. I think some teachers would be much better off with one or two people helping them than struggling because they're slow readers, because they're, you know, not 100% sure about their judgments about everything. Then, you know, bring some help in and have that done. Maybe you're working with a language arts specialist teacher. That's not unusual anymore in the upper grades. That's another situation, and we'll talk about that as well. But if you simply find that you cannot get the compositions back to your students, I would say Monday, if I was given them on Friday, you may have a different schedule. But if you're finding that you're always late or that they're not even getting some of them back, then you're giving them too many compositions. You know, the question of what's the workload that you can expect of your students, it depends to some degree about the workload that you can handle. It depends a lot on that. And that's why not every teacher is going to have a class as prolific as every other teacher. There are going to be differences. The important thing is not quantity, it is quality, quality, quality. So you will see when you look at the slideshows, it'll be clear to you. You know, you'll see, obviously, okay, everybody did this particular drawing or this particular reproduction, and everyone did a composition on this subject. You will see not a whole lot of compositions, but the compositions you see are generally fairly lengthy. If I'm saying that my students did one composition a week and not in all blocks, because as you'll see, the work in sciences was done quite differently. So one major composition a week, and that would be maybe 18 weeks of the year, maybe 15 weeks of the year. That's how many compositions they wrote. That was it. We did not do journaling. We were not doing little short pieces, except here and there in grammar as exercises. And yet I would say, then, I think that their work in the Waldorf High School or in other secondary schools would bear this out. They were very good writers. So it was not because they were writing. It was not because of the quantity. It was because they were writing as much as I could predictably handle when I wasn't, you know, totally falling apart as a nervous wreck. But I could generally get these things back to them on time. And then, you know, make the most of them. They're not writing so many compositions, so mine every jewel that you can. Number one, have children, of course, come up, stand in front of the class, and read from their composition. You know, maybe have four children read their first paragraph. How are they getting you into that? How are they sparking your interest? Are they being mysterious, concealing what the subject is? Are they bringing it out right away with bravado? Are they starting out a little bit dryly, you know, building the suspense and building the action? They start to get a feeling for their different styles. And this is an important thing in seventh grade and eighth grade as well. The difference between grammar and style, between sentence structure and style. They're getting a feeling for the nature of the paragraph and the way in which paragraphs work and the beginning and the ending. And I absolutely avoided setting rules about that sort of thing. We never did five paragraph essays. We never, you know, did a checklist of how one began and ended and topic sentence and all of that stuff. A whole lot of this just really arose out of their own experiences in writing. And now I've worked with graduate students in recent years. And of course, nowadays, even if you're carrying on a live classroom and you see the students every day, residential or whatever we call it today, increasingly, students are also submitting work via email or on a system like Blackboard or CourseSight, in which they write papers which are online and which, for the most part, are being read and commented on by all of their fellow students. And when I did that, I realized, my gosh, what a huge disadvantage, both in the teacher training work that I did, and also even, honestly, in the upper grades classrooms, that there is not the time for all of the students to hear one another's compositions, that you get bits and pieces, you know, and the shy child maybe only once a month is going to stand up and turn beet red and ask the teacher to read a sentence or something. So it's going to tend to be dominated by the, you know, good writers, and those who aren't might be too shy about standing up, even if what they're doing is actually quite good. So I would suggest that we might be thinking, maybe not tomorrow, but in the future, perhaps the time has come for the students to be posting their compositions. Now, this could easily be done when they don't have to type them, retype them or anything. They can just photograph them. You can, you know, scan a composition. Pretty much every Waldorf child has a printer scanner at home, or take a smartphone and use it as a camera scanner. Anyway, it's not that hard to get stuff online. And then their assignment is to read one another's compositions and to write a short comment, you know, one sentence, two sentences, to do that for one another. Maybe you don't do that with every composition, perhaps once a month or once every 2 months, or you do it only once in the year as an experiment. I think that this would revolutionize the teaching of writing in the Waldorf school, and I'm not suggesting then that we do everything else online, but here's a place to start. If you think of the incredible scientific progress that was made at the time of the Renaissance and beyond, you know, in the 17th, 18th centuries, the age of the Enlightenment, the 19th century, a lot of that had to do with the formation of various scientific societies. And a good deal of what they did was just to serve as clearinghouses so that announcements about scientific discoveries, descriptions of experiments, papers in which those experiments now were led the scientists to various conclusions, this was able to circulate. And this circulation not surprising, perhaps, that the circulatory theory of blood was discovered at this time. This circulation of written material became then the impetus for ever faster progress in the sciences. So think about that. We are, and in many ways there's justification for this, we are very medieval in our nature. Not just that we, you know, do those beautiful illuminated manuscripts that we call main lesson books. Not that our Waldorf salaries are monastic in nature either, but in terms of the rarity of the ability to read one another's work. The students get to see one another drawing. They may now and then be encouraged to sit with a good writer and read a little bit about what he or she is doing. But on the whole, the students hear very little and see much less of one another's written work. So I would just like to propose this. Put a bee in your bonnet. Maybe tell your colleagues you want to try this. Very likely every child in your class has a home computer, no surprise. Very likely half of them even own iPads, and three quarters of them own iPhones or their equivalent. And this may be an appropriate use of that media, which will bring that media, will in a way raise it up to something that now has a pedagogical quality. And once the children see that it's been given a bit of your imprimatur and that this is kind of a school device, they may completely lose interest in it. So that's another possibility to think about that. Okay, so that they're getting modeling from one another. Something else that I would do is to choose a few sentences or a paragraph from one or two compositions and write them on the board the night before Sunday night or Monday morning. Keep doing that Tuesday and Wednesday. And we would parse those paragraphs. So we would analyze them grammatically. We would talk about the style and things like that. And there again, that really brings grammar to life for students when it's their own peers' work that they are seeing. So that's another way in which one uses these compositions and really makes them part of the substance of the class. And another aspect of this is that, okay, you're the model for the children. The many paragraphs that you have written on the blackboard over the years, this year, ideally, you'll be doing very little of that because the students' main lesson book work is 75-85% their own. They shouldn't need your bridging very much, maybe as a dictation now and then to cover some big period of time. But that's not enough. Your speech, however eloquent, and your writing, however wonderful, they need to be hearing and or reading models of very good writing. So that what I would do would be, let's say, in the case of a Renaissance figure, I would read to them from various biographers or art historians or historical novel writers, it can be just pure literature as well, describing a Michelangelo or describing the Medicis and what they were doing, so that they could hear the same thing, something that they had already learned about and knew well, to hear that made new, made fresh, rediscovered from a variety of perspectives. And this word perspective will keep coming back, not only in our perspective drawing video, but this is important in seventh grade, starting to realize that there are many points of view, and that writing allows us to take the same old material and see it in a bright and brand new way. and, you know, how did this person bring this? And look at all the adjectives and just listen to those short sentences, no adverbs whatsoever. The verbs themselves tell you everything. That can really bring grammar to life. And you'll find that some children will start to work imitatively. You know, they'll want to sound like Lawrence Vanderpost, or they'll want to sound like Irving Stone in The Agony and the Ecstasy, and that's fine as well. All great writers begin imitatively. They all find their teacher, their model, their mentor, and you want to open them up to many others. So this also brings us to the point of talking about reading in grade 7 and book lists and book reports. We'll do that in the next language arts lecture.